drinking night.
With a movie problem. Let's see. Today we watched Bambi because we've been a little crunched for time as of late, but wanted to squeeze in an episode. And I still can't believe this movie is 63 minutes.
It's not Bambi, though.
We want to just redo this.
Sure. Are you sure you don't want to keep it, though? Okay.
Yeah.
Drinking night.
With a movie problem.
I'm Matt.
I'm Laura.
And today, we watched Dumbo.
Yeah, we didn't watch Bambi, we watched Dumbo. Yeah.
Because we were a little pinched for time, and Dumbo is like...
63 minutes, yeah.
Unbelievably, like, I did not realize this movie was this short, and I guess watching it... I don't know if I'd ever actually sat down and watched it end-to-end before, but it's basically The Ugly Duckling, just with an elephant. So yeah, short story, very simple.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's really weird that so much of the plot really isn't featuring Dumbo himself. It's all the creatures around Dumbo.
Yeah.
Like OG Forrest Gump the movie. No, I mean, it's an iconic movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a really good example of a movie that everyone knows about today just because Disney is just like, yeah. Have I told you about the flying elephant?
Yeah.
And it was spectacular within the context of like 1941.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean... I think it holds up just as well as some of the very forgettable, like, UPA films.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I feel like there's a lot of, like, Disney's IP presence that, like, kind of allows Dumbo to be more memorable than other similar films of its era, you know? Like, because to your point, it's a very simplistic, like, I've got my notes on a story summary, but it's basically, like, The Ugly Duckling. Baby shows up. Baby's ears are too big. All the other elephants make fun of him. And then he gets, like, kicked out of the elephant act because he trips over his ears, which are too big. No one appreciates him. They're all mad. His mom's in jail because other people made fun of his ears. And she defended him.
Elephant jail.
Elephant jail. Yeah. And then they put him in the clown act. Everyone makes fun of him. And then he gets drunk and discovers that he can fly with his big ears. And then all of a sudden his big ears
does make him... Does he get drunk and discover that he can fly?
Yeah, like that's how he ends up at the top of the tree. Or at least it's like implied, right?
Oh, really? I thought the crows were just like, here's a magical feather.
No, I mean, the feather didn't give him the ability to fly. That was the whole thing at the end where he like lost the feather and then flew. And it unlocked his confidence. In a longer movie, you'd have had him... They'd have invested in like... two or three times when he flew with the feather, and then he'd lose the feather, and then he'd be like, oh, no.
Was it really the feather?
No, it was the power. The real power was inside of you.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, to be fair, and Disney did get the opportunity to re-release and rewrite this movie, too, in 2019.
Yeah, they made it into something 2 hours long.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
No, it's okay. I think one thing that I've come to appreciate, I've seen it a couple times. Mm-hmm. It's an okay movie. I think the other reason that I keep revisiting it is because people keep thinking that it's the most controversial Disney property, which I mean, like, sure.
I mean, it definitely has its like, you know, there's that. The Jim Crow stuff, the song with the guys that are like, we can't read, we like to work, la 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 la. And you can guess what color
work
those characters
day, work
are.
Work all night, we never learn to read or write, we're happy. Like,
The low-key one that I didn't, that was weird was the constant references to like, the elephants refer to themselves as a proud race.
Ah,
and that like comes
yes.
up a couple times.
Yep. 1940s. I think it's weird that this movie came out apparently in October of 1941, and this is way back when you didn't get like the 80s style national blockbuster releases, but like that's when it starts hitting the road and just starts like all of these movies, all the movie reels start to circulate among the theaters in the country. And it must have been just such a colorful spectacle.
Yeah. Hand painting animation allows you to produce color in a time when color is not really a thing. I mean, that even when you think about like Snow White, right? Like the 1920s. Yeah. And what a mind blow that must have been.
35.
35?
Yeah.
Okay. So actually, that makes me think the other thing that I thought that was really neat about this, and I'm going to nerd out for a second, but like placing this in its historical moment, that it's like this was released in October of 1941. World War II has not, America has not joined World War II yet.
Yes.
But FDR is the president. And it's like one of these little throwaway lines in When I See an Elephant Fly, which is just like a series of puns, you know, like, well, you know, I've heard a, what is it? What are you saying? I've seen a, totally forgot them all. Oh, man. Ah. Anyway, one of the puns that they make in addition, along with like, you know, I've seen a dragonfly.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a house fly.
I've seen a needle wink its eye.
But one of the jokes was, I've heard a fireside chat, which is like a pun that you only get if it's 1941 and FDR is president.
Which is crazy because, you know, I can't help but just feel how much of a piece of escapism this was in 1941 and 42. Mm-hmm. Like you got this started hitting theaters and circulating around the country like 2 months before Pearl Harbor. So yeah. That must have been really interesting. Just the escapism that this film offered for people. And yeah, it worked. Financially.
I think this was the first time I ever sat down and watched the full, like, Pink Elephants on Parade sequence ever.
Thoughts?
What? Like, I knew it was, like, crazy and scary, and I've seen the big yellow elephant face that I understand would be terrifying to a child. It's also weird that the elephants go skiing and turn into cars and trains.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
They ice skate, and it's like, it's just, I was not fully prepared for how much of an acid trip sequence that was.
I feel like that moment's kind of like a lot of, like, 2001 A Space Odyssey, where it's like, or Psycho, where it's like, if you're, or Star Wars, and if you're in theaters for the first time watching this happen, and you are utterly unprepared for it, it is mind-blowing. Yeah. But it's kind of sad that nothing really blows our mind today, because especially stuff that has come in the past, because I was exposed to the elephant acid trip through so much Disney adjacent
properties. Yeah.
Yeah. And just Disney being Disney, of like, it's all over Disneyland. It's weird in that it's kind of like the, I See Dead People, where it's like, at some point, you just know that Bruce Willis has been dead, whether or not you've seen the movie.
Which brings us back to the conversation about Not Promising Young Woman, the movie we watched last night, Last Night in London. When we sat down and had that experience of coming into the movie knowing absolutely nothing about it, and how refreshing that was.
I know there's a movie. I know we saw it like a day ago.
Yeah, we podcasted it. It was the Last Night in London one.
Wait, the Last Night in London? What are you talking about? What?
It was Soho. Last Night in Soho.
Oh, yeah. Which was in London, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I did that. I remember the name of it. No. But yeah, it was that, but that same kind of thing of like, so often we go into the movie, especially with a movie like this, I knew about Pink Elephants on Parade, right? I knew about Baby Mine.
Yeah,
I
hadn't seen them all put together. Could you imagine going into this and just like,
blind.
What?
Why are the elephants skiing and on acid?
Yeah. That must have been really, really cool during the time.
The other one, like, I went in knowing that, like, his mom goes to jail, but I had none of the, like, she's locked up for being a mad elephant. And it's literally because, like, a bunch of
idiot
teenagers break into the enclosure and start harassing the baby elephant in front of the mama elephant, which is, like, I don't know that you can call that a mad elephant situation so much as, like, that's a stupid people situation. Like, that happens at zoos all the time. Like,
It happened Jimmy, to Harambe.
Jimmy wants to jump in the polar bear enclosure to go poke it.
That's why there's
and
a fence.
And then he gets what happens. Like,
the fence is to keep the people out, not the animals in. I think I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
I think there's an alternate version of this film where Mrs. Jumbo, Dumbo's mom, recognizes the complete unfairness of her situation in the elephant jail, having been locked up for no good reason because, like, kids were teenagers were harassing her kid. And then she breaks out
of jail,
goes on a rampage, and, like, gets her revenge on the circus ringmaster, the
takes
clowns,
her baby, goes
everybody.
To Mexico,
and that
and builds
movie,
an elephant, like, little mini society.
And we will call that
Oaxaca.
Movie. And we will call that movie Jumbo Unchained.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, I guess you'd miss the Mexico part if it was called Jumbo Unchained. I didn't realize that was a terrible pun you were letting out.
It was so good. It was so good.
It was amazing. You're so amazing. Yeah. It was cool rewatching it. A lot of the animation was like the old, like, pre-Bambi squishy characters, which is, like, adorable. Mm-hmm. And almost like rubber hosey, kind of like bloop, 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 bloop. My favorite is, like, watching the tiny little details in the wide shots where it's just like, wow. Like, today.
The janky giraffes.
Janky giraffes. Like, today, everything is just immaculate. Today, you have people just being like, so in Zootopia, we really wanted to express, like, the full environment. And so we went in and created a bunch of programs that would, like, automatically shuffle the leaves and the trees. And you just go back, like, 80 years, and you have, like, full-on giraffes in the background that are like, meh,
meh. Yeah, stick figure camel, like, sneaking around, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper to make movies now. But people are working very, very hard to make some pretty spectacular stuff.
Yeah. The other thing, technically speaking, that I wonder if they were working on, you know, the same way you can see Pixar and, like, these different films working on different pieces of technology from movie to movie, I wonder if they were working on the technique of silhouette animation, because there were multiple sequences with the clowns,
as
silhouettes, with Dumbo's friend the mouse, like Timothy Mouse. Yeah, that, like, you see him in a silhouette behind Dumbo's ear. You see that you've got the whole sequence with multiple layers of silhouettes, with the ringmaster getting undressed and putting on his pajamas, and you see the silhouette
see
of the ringmaster and the
of his bed.
Yeah.
Sheets or of his nightgown. That was cool. I will give them extra props for having a silhouette and the semi-transparent clothing on top of it.
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah. I wonder, you're right, they're probably working on the technology, but that's also just like something that they did for budget saving, where it was just like, we got to finish this. Well, one, this movie is happening right in the middle of the animators' strike, because they were all trying to unionize, and yeah, that didn't work out too well. But, you know, animators are unionizing today. So, complicated issues. But I can see how then they were totally crunched, especially because they were totally into the gun, because Snow White had been a success, but then Fantasia had just been so expensive. And this is coming after Bambi, right? Because they were like two flops before Dumbo.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to recoup their losses, and they were totally panicking.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. But it worked. I mean, saved the studio.
Hmm?
Which, you can then see how this kind of set the groundwork and set executives' minds towards, like, no, we can't be innovative like Bambi or Fantasia. We really need to make, like, cute and adorable things that are super marketable, and how that essentially just slowly becomes the company MO for, like, the 50s.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, UPA sprouting out of that. It's just like, hey, but what if we
What if we did more things like the acid trip Dumbo instead of more things like the cute animal part of Dumbo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was lovely. It was cute to rewatch it. It's a fine movie. You know, if I have a tiny human being, I'd probably at some point just be like, I don't know.
Watch Dumbo.
The flying elephant. Tell me about how you would make this a better movie, because I think it's, you know, it's just hit market saturation. Everyone knows Dumbo. You can't get away from it. And at the same time, the plot is pretty thin. So it's almost like, what would be a more interesting version of this movie is probably the conversation that I would have coming out of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's charming. I think weirdly, what makes Dumbo more interesting is everything that happens in Dumbo outside of the plot. Like, 1941. This movie's going around when, you know, World War II breaks out. Or not breaks out, but the U.S.
The evolving conversation around race in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first movie we fired up on Disney Plus where we got the big fat warning of, like, you know, of 13 seconds of, you know, this movie contains subject matter depictions which may be controversial and upsetting to some people. We think it's important to present history as something we wrote this, we're sorry.
Yeah. I'm surprised you hadn't seen it cover to cover, but hey, Dumbo! Unchained.